very biased program.
I regret everything.
Hello and welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the Bandicoot of Crash.
Woo!
In a card, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Play Crash Team Racing,
yes,
why don't you?
Nitro Refueled.
I have so many things to share because we didn't get to meet last week. I was going to tell you all about E3,
yeah,
where I got to test out this not yet released game called Crash Team Racing.
Uh-huh.
But now it's in your living room.
Yeah,
and it's
fun.
Not, I don't think that's news anymore.
It's fun to watch. What happens in my house is that every once in a while a game like this will come out and my wife is way into it.
Yeah.
So she starts playing it and then the kids think it's fun to do a little trash talking and then she gets angry. Like, not like, not angry at the kids where she's yelling at them, but
she feels the shame of losing.
There's a lot of, like, most of us shouldn't have a mother cursing out loud in frustration at a video game in their life. I feel like it heightens my
I was going to say, that's my wife. When
yeah.
we play, we've been into Mario Kart 8 lately as a family, and her sailor mouth, which is pretty, like, right there all the time anyway.
And she doesn't mind throwing an F-bomb in front of your kids.
She can't. I don't think she can help herself.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if she has an opinion about it.
I think it's great.
It's just this is reality.
Personally, I support it. I think it's good. It doesn't. My kids, they don't balk at foul mouth language.
Yeah,
and they haven't, as far as I'm aware, they haven't had a situation where they've let one slip or anything like that. I think Jack has said, like, ass in a grocery store, if I remember correctly.
Will he say that around the house, though? Will he drop an ass?
Not that I'm aware of, again. I like the way this the humor is, like, I never see my kids. Like,
yeah, it's true.
I don't know. I don't really talk to them a lot.
You get about an hour a week when you're playing Crash Team Racing.
That's about it. And he doesn't curse at all then.
Of course, I'm not listening.
Yeah, I have my headphones. But,
no. They talk a lot.
Oh, my gosh, so much.
A lot of words on the children.
Like, gosh, how needy could you be for my attention and approval? Yeah, so.
Go hug the fridge.
I don't mind that they that there's cursing around them personally.
Sure,
but it's a fun game.
Crash Team Racing or
yeah,
the cursing?
I agree with your both of them.
Yeah,
I agree with your earlier assessment that was off the air that
yep.
no one would ever have heard except for me. Is that when you this game?
Yes.
There's got to be a control thing that you can change.
I don't, maybe
the X is the gas,
right? Which
and
is
then
dumb.
The circle is to fire a weapon,
which is also dumb.
And so they're right next to each other. And the first words out of my wife's mouth when she found out about firing weapons, she goes, "Well, how do you keep moving and do that?"
Exactly,
because she doesn't understand the thumb roll.
That's one way. Now, at E3, I saw guys who grew up on this game, thumb on X, right index finger
doing.
On the circle button.
That's a weird kind of like
that
spider
hurt. I was
hand.
Like, no, that's not going to work
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, Jack goes, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would cause a lot of misfiring.
As I understand it, a lot of international racing games, that's how they're played.
Really?
Yeah, that Americans, we play it this way, but a lot of others are
by the way, superior in that way as well. Suck it, rest of the world.
Take it!
I mean, seriously, try an R2 trigger as a gas and an L2 as a brake, and you got your thumbs to rule the world.
So many options. We got to look into that, whether or not you can change the mapping on it, because that should have been my first question.
Yeah.
This is not... It actually made me think, I'm not going to get this game
I hope it's
because
American.
I don't like that where those controls are. Like, that literally was the deal breaker for me.
Oh, that's why you didn't get the game?
Yeah, I was like, I can't... That's
Mario,
dumb.
But Mario Kart isn't that way.
Yeah, Mario Kart has normal tracking with the...
Yeah. Trigger finger button.
Triggered down there, yeah. Although gas on that one is also X, but the firing is...
Oh, it's a finger.
Or whatever it is
it's on top, is the point.
But I prefer, like most people, a racing game where the trigger is gas, because then you have an accelerator. If it's on the buttons... It's
on
or
off. Yeah.
Yeah, and so you're like, if you want to throttle...
PS4 has a pressure sensitive, I think.
So yeah,
but it's not going to be as. But I don't think that when you're doing crash racing, I don't think
you're just holding it down.
You're not looking for 50% throttle on that.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't played any of the higher levels, but it's the same thing with Mario. Of like, you need to be able to oscillate on off to get into the like 150.
I would venture a guess that Mario is a superior racing kart game.
Of course it is. It's the gold standard of racing games. How dare you? There is no greater racing game.
Yeah, but I still prefer the Crash Bandicoot.
It's a very biased program.
That is a bold statement. And why?
Because it's on PlayStation.
It's a very biased program.
Did you play Little Big Planet Karting on the PS3?
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, and remember, what was the one that you would... Mod Street Racers? I did that one.
I don't remember Mod Street Racers.
We played that. It's fun. We? Yeah, you liked it in the... You liked it for a minute. I think you were still in the Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
But I do think, I want to say, we'll have to look at it.
All you got
to
do is Google.
Because I think that you could... I think the Mod Street Racer came out after Little Big Planet.
Interesting.
And I said that out loud mostly because there are people listening to the show that are going, no, no, or yes, it did.
And you spell mod, M-A-W-D.
It's mod. No, we'll
Google this letter. I think,
just
pretty
go
sure.
And Google.
It's M-A-W-D.
M-A-W-D. I'm going to type it into my
I'm trolling
Apple
the
box.
Listeners. The Apple box. That, I believe they call that a Steve Jobs cube.
It's going to be really funny if I'm not even right on the name of the
game. I don't remember a mod team racing game.
It's not, well, I thought I said Mod Street. Am I wrong? It's probably...
Oh, man.
Oh, I weigh Street two, Racer Mod V.
Two no. old men looking at the internet.
Oh, this is
hard. Who's at the door?
I don't know why I played that one.
Bare naked ladies are here.
PlayStation. If I add the PlayStation, it'll help me. Because I know there were, as people telling us in the chat...
No, they're arguing over which one's better, Mario Kart or Crash Team Racing. They're, of course, wrong because there's...
Oh, I'm way off.
I didn't remember a mod team racing. And, you know, games tend to live in my heart.
I know. Kart racing. Let's see.
While Justin Googles the internet, we continue our Crash search team. For the best game of all time.
Nickelodeon Kart Race. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
Nick Kart Racing is still a Chuck E. Cheese.
That's not what it was. Guys, somebody in the chat backed me up on this. You had big heads, and you could soup up your car.
Okay.
And you would win all these things to decorate and personalize your racer.
You sure that's not Little Big Planet Karting?
It'd be really funny if it was.
Because that sounds a lot like... The more you say mod team racing, it sounds like a thing, but you're actively Googling it. Using the search engine and producing 0.0 results.
Even Google's like, no, bro. No. Not
one result. That's
this
really
is
hard
so
to do.
Weird. This is... Am I this stupid? Mod Nation Racers.
Okay.
Nation.
Welcome to Mod Nation. We are alternative music enthusiasts from the 1990s.
That's what it was. Is somebody saying that in the chat to back me? Yeah, no. Mod Nation Racing is somebody's already they're yelling
there it is.
At
Thank
me.
You. Thank you.
This one. Yeah, me. See, look. It looks a little bit like Little Big Planet.
They look like Lego kids, actually.
Yeah. That was a fun game, too. I really like, and you could soup up the engines, and I remember we, I guess is a better way of saying that, played that all. Oh, it was on the PS3.
Oof. Yeah. Well, so was Little Big Planet Karting.
Woof.
So long. So long ago.
All right, what else did you see at E3?
Well, here's the funny thing. So, as I walked right in to E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, now you have to show your badge at the door and get keyed in. Before, you used to be able to get into the lobby area without being, but now it's like...
Now they have the pedestrians are there.
And there's no way in.
The gamers.
So, once you're in, though, there's like a little antechamber. It's called the lobby. And... Although when the future Egyptians excavate our tombs, they'll call it the antechamber. Sort of a historic irony that the Egyptians are the only ones that survive. But in the antechamber, they have everybody loading up. So you're just in these giant long lines before getting into the actual conference hall. And out there is one game, and it's Crash Team Racing. Just there.
As soon as you walk in the door.
As soon as you walk in the door.
You're in the antechamber.
You're in the antechamber.
You're in the antechamber. And so you're enjoying a young weasel man driving around in a go-kart.
So I'm waiting in line, staring at this giant line, and it's open. It's like actually moving, and they let like 20 people in at a time. And then this gal comes around the corner like, you want to play a game right now? It's like, why wouldn't I want to play a game right now? This is why I'm here. I know so many of
she
our
was
fans.
A prostitute, wasn't she?
She was. It had nothing to do with Crash Team Racing.
Boy.
I spent all
E3
day in jail.
Taking a turn. E3 is in jail. She's a cop. The worst sting operation ever. Oh my God, that's so funny. Like that's just cruel.
I was really messed
hot
up.
Booth mates coming up going, hey, you want to play a game right now?
Sure.
Just come right into this janitor closet with me. All right, you have the right to remain silent.
I just wanted to play video games. I'm a virgin. Like 50 guys screaming that. They did not know their market.
A record book. lost in the sex trafficking ring today at E3.
No, he wanted prostitution. He just lock him up. He's fine. No, so I go and play the game. I had that same reaction of like, oh, I don't like the circle. I don't like the whatever. But the thing that was so funny about it is that we're waiting forever. I don't know why. We're just waiting. Like now the antechamber is empty and I'm standing. I still haven't played this stupid
game.
You're
the only Egyptian left standing.
I'm so mad. And so I was like, well, I'll take a picture. So I pull up Dr. Nefarious in some sort of alternate skin. Is he available for you now? He's like all, he was cool looking. So I grab a picture of it. And I was like, this will be great to put on the podcast because we're going to talk about this before the game is out, obviously. Duh. And this gal, the same gal that recruited me actually comes up and goes, starts talking to me, but I'm wearing headphones. And so I have to pull off the headphones. I'm like, I'm sorry, yes? Thinking she's telling me something about the game or whatever. She goes, oh, if you're going to take a picture of the screen, you have to pull back so you can get the whole context of all of E3 in your picture. And I go, oh, you're directing me. She's like, yeah. Okay, well, and in my head I'm thinking, look, I have an iPhone 6. I don't have a super nice camera. I have an iPhone 6, and I know that I can take a picture of all of the context and go, troop, and cut out all of that context on my iPhone 6. And people are walking in with these Google Pixel phones. They can get into the actual pixels of the screen. What are you trying to police right now? I don't understand.
I think they're trying to just, instead of having an unspoken like rule, they're making a spoken honor code. They're like saying, hey, man, it'd be cool if you didn't just take pictures of the
screen. It's so unnormal for E3 culture. The whole point is to come and enjoy and get the pictures of
it's
the
getting,
stuff.
Like you said, I think you said this online, that it's getting Comic-Con is what
yes,
it is.
Yes, exactly.
It's more Comic-Con than E3.
So the game was cool, though. I did better now against your family than I did at E3. But it was, to be fair,
my family's pretty bad.
They're really bad.
Oh, my gosh.
I picked up your son's controller and took him from 8 to 6 beating your wife. Yeah. So they're all very
terrible.
She
cursed a lot at you.
She did. I probably not allowed back in your house.
Now there, to add to that, by the way, now my kids are in there watching John Wick 2. With their mother.
How late do they get to stay up? This is fascinating to
10,
me.
10:30 in the summer.
Nice. It's summertime. It's still light outside. So finally, get inside, leave the antechamber into the pro chamber.
Are these, did you like watch a National Geographic thing about the pyramids? How do you know these terms? Are these real Egyptian terms?
I'm watching it right now.
Nope. That is a fancy phone.
It's really good.
Can
anyway.
You get all of the pyramids though, please? Not just watch the one. I want you to expand out.
At two, yeah, just it.
Thank you.
Take a picture of this screen right here. Look at that Egyptian.
I have zero tan lines, so I demand credibility. You understand?
Wow, that's very specific. So walk in. As soon as you walk in, bam, cacao, shablam, boom, Borderlands 3. Yeah. And as we've discussed before, my brother, a big Borderlands 2 fan, which is a really cumbersome game to walk through because it's a PS3 title ported to the PS4, and I've been really looking forward to seeing a PS4 version of Borderlands 3, and it looks great. I walk, I'm like, sweet, this will be the first thing I do. I start texting him, like, look where I am, we're going to check this game out. Walk up there, like, oh, from here, the line is about three and a half hours long. The show just opened. It's been 5 minutes. Yeah. I was like, well, great. Crash
and
Team Racing.
On Thursday. It opened. Yeah. It started on Tuesday or
yes.
Wednesday?
Tuesday was Tuesday. The first day. Yeah.
So were there people staying overnight?
No. The pro chamber empties out and the antechamber empties out. You have to get there early, get into the antechamber at whatever, 8:30, wait in that line before getting that to beat the three and a half hour line. So it was like, guess I'm not playing Borderlands 3 this time around.
By the way, my kids were watching a YouTube video, and I saw a commercial for that Borderlands 3. Oh,
we're going to get it.
It looks amazing.
You're going to love it. It's an absolute Justin Warsham game.
I just have to finish Mass Effect Andromeda.
You've got till September.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Destiny 2.
What?
I paid $100, I think, for Destiny 2, and I still haven't
played it. We should play that game. That is a sweet, sick, super game.
You know what's going to be great when I get to it is that you are going to be like superhero, and I'm going to be like,
just like in Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Single tier of a cloud.
Wait, they have that on PS4? Did you see that at E3?
Oh, no. Is this all payback because I didn't deliver a speech at your wedding?
No. No.
I regret it to this day.
I wish it had more of that in it. It's just I don't want to play a game on my computer. I don't. I wish I knew why. I really do. It just, it's a weird hang up that I'm like, why would you want to play a game on a computer? I love saying this out loud, not because, yes, I mean it,
yeah.
but I just know that there are people who are much more knowledgeable about games than I am.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're frustrated. Yeah. They're frustrated by me saying that, why would you want to play a game on a computer when you have a gaming console? Like, that's yeah. what it's made
yeah, yeah,
for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Computers are for computing. You understand? Spreadsheeting. Word processing.
There's so much
the
prettier.
Emailing. I am so frustrated that I can't, by the way, post an Instagram photo on my computer. That is super frustrating.
Welcome. See? That's yeah. why you need to get a
I need a Instagram phone? On my PlayStation.
The best looking game you have on any console you own
uh-huh.
looks better on my machine. I'll just say that right now.
I believe it.
Yeah.
How much does your machine cost?
That's hard to say because it's like, it's... I have pieces over generations.
Right.
Like I change parts out.
So,
but if you were to do it flat right now,
how long have you had, like, since you started your machine until today?
Yeah.
Like if you were to go, how long have you had this machine over all the iterations?
Let me just say, I think to get something comparable, you could pay around $2,500 right now and get,
and I would just walk out the door with that.
Yeah.
Cause my PlayStation cost me $300.
That's fair.
I win.
I don't know if you win though.
I do win.
I don't think you win.
I kind of think I do.
I don't think so. Cause I can compute.
I do.
And then I can go over to Adobe and yeah. I can make 3D renders of things.
Uh-huh.
And then when I'm done with that, I can go over to Adobe Audition. And make
with the money I saved, I could pay somebody to do all my Adobe.
Now you one
and
time.
I have Adobe Audition.
All right. Anyway, back to the E3. So Borderlands is out.
Yeah.
Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And then so I walk up a little further down the line, and then the real drool starts, and it's a little game called Cyberpunk 2077. And just. Talking about it now makes Ooh. Me want to eat a steak again. Like,
oh my.
Yes, just, oh, I want it. I want this game so bad. Okay. I just had a steak for dinner.
Okay.
And I want another steak.
Okay. I thought you gave up beef and I didn't hear about it.
That would never
I know.
Happen.
I was so shocked.
It will take a drought to remove
all
beef
the
from my... Yeah, they all have to be dead. Cyberpunk 2077, we've talked about it here before. It's been in E3 shows for many years. The same studio that did The Witcher Studios, are taking the tabletop game called Cyberpunk, I think 2017 or something. Who cares? And they're making this sick-ass looking RPG game that is just in this like... ultimate 1980s.
And because they want it to look amazing, they put it exclusively on consoles, I understand.
No, it is on the PS4 Pro and the PS4. It'll be on the PS4. It does look good. It's also on the PC. Actually, I don't know if it's on the PC. It's on the Xbox. Yeah, I don't think it is.
Oh, I was totally thinking it would be exclusively a PC game.
I'll get it on the console.
It would want to be. I wish this was breaking better for you.
So I go up and they're like, we got in trouble the first 2 days from Ubisoft over here because our line started to block their store.
Oh, burn on you,
so
Ubisoft.
So we're not allowed to let any more people than are in the line right now to be in the line, and you can't stand here.
What does Ubisoft have that's so important?
They're a very big publisher. They have a lot of stuff.
What's
well,
going on over
in
there?
In this case, they actually had a store, like a literal merch store.
That's not what I feel like E3 should be.
Which is funny. There are always been...
But that's like trade booth guys.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're showing...
Fortnite had it. Fortnite had a whole booth. But Fortnite is a game that's out all the time.
Yeah.
So they also had a jungle
gym. I just
feel
like you shouldn't be Ubisoft... Yeah. Showing up with just merch.
It's French. So is it Ubisoft?
Ubisoft? Do they have some soft cheese, perhaps?
That would be
or
amazing.
A port?
So they shooed me away. And they're like, you can't be here. And I said, they're like, you have to be here the next time the line opens. I said, I just tried to do that, and I'm a small person. I said, okay, I'm a medium-sized person. And I got beat to it. And the guy's like, all right, next time, come back here. I'll help you. And I'm like... Great. So I'm 0-2.
Next E3?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what he
meant?
What
next time? The next 30 minutes when they open up the next show. Because
did you get to go back?
This is a story.
I'm sorry.
We're telling a story.
I'm being my wife.
Don't
right
you want to know?
It's so annoying. I'm so sorry. I'm stopping. Ready, go.
We should take a break.
No!
I'll tell you more after the break.
Oh,
Bachelor.
Oh, so perfectly executed. Oh, doesn't that make you want to have a steak again?
Next time on Gamerland Podcast, coming up. Take me. Let's just play that whole song.
You should. By the way, if you're only listening to this on earbuds, you are failing. You should definitely be going to twitch.tv/thekevinmiller to watch the show live. Even if after you watched it, it's like bonus material.
That's right, because there's a lot of interstitial stuff.
Oh yeah, there's before, there's after,
there's during,
there's during. Because
we take commercial breaks.
So much during.
Yeah, there's a lot of during. In fact, fun fact: everything you're hearing right now is actually every other word we're saying. We go back in and post and remove the extra words. So if you watch it live on the Twitch, you can actually hear the real message.
Oh boy,
it's amazing.
All right, so you were getting
previously on the Gamerland podcast.
They sent me away, so I had to go wander around, and I came across the tiniest, smallest little booth off in the corner. I think that's what I did next. Yeah, we'll say it is. Tiniest little corner booth with a little tiny title called Psychonauts 2.
Never heard of it.
Shut up! How could you? We talked about Psychonauts 1 recently.
I can't wait for you to get shooed away from this. Because
almost.
It feels like it's all leading up to this.
Yeah.
Like the only way is that if you get shooed away from Psychonauts, then you have to be shooed away from Guild Wars 2's new expansion that they said they're not going to make.
Why would you say this over my soul?
Because that's for the sake of the tale, the arc of it all. All right, Psychonauts 2.
I get in.
How great. Actually, got in.
It was even better. I'm glancing by. I look over and go, oh, that's Psychonauts 2. And the gal, for the first time, anybody's treated me kindly at E3, goes, hey, we're about to start the show. Do you want to come in? I said, yes. I walk in. She's like, we got one spot on the side. And literally, it's a stool in a room in a theater. There's like, I don't, it's for the intern. And he wasn't at this set. And I'm like on a circle, a 9-inch diameter plate, just watching, going, I'm at E3. It's Psychonauts 2. Everything is happening. The thing that's so great about the Psychonauts franchise is just their imaginative worlds. And you never know when you walk into these things where they're not, you're allowed to take photos or whatever. They're not always clear. And maybe it was written on something or you might have missed an announcement. So I wasn't going to bring up my phone because I don't want them to come over and be like, you have to delete your phone.
Yeah, can you?
I'm sorry. You must give us your phone. There you go. There's some powder for you.
But here's a Destiny themed case for your next one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I didn't take any video, but the demo was really great because, you know, they did an Oculus or whatever the PlayStation platform of a 3D VR experience. It was like a lead up to this. Well, this game drops you in the middle of this like very boring office environment, which is great. There's like in a call center somewhere. And then they start to get into the imaginative world of like breaking into someone's brain. And the guy's a dentist. So all these like dentist themed stuff start to show up. And suddenly, like in the same boring office complex, are gum lines and teeth sticking out and pieces of what looks like maybe a tongue.
Oh.
And it's all mishmashed together in this really disturbing but really compelling.
And you're
like
smiling the whole time you're saying
everybody that. You're like, even though it's disturbing, yeah. You're like, what more can you do with this theme of teeth and gums? Yeah. What can you possibly? And it's supposed to invoke like nightmarish kind of sensation.
Yeah.
Plus it's an office complex, so it's very, it starts to get really oppressive and kind of dark and like ugly fluorescent lights. The whole demo was just amazing. And we didn't get to play. We just got to watch them do it.
We just got to watch somebody else play?
Yeah, I think someone was playing.
Like, was it a hot booth babe or one of the guys who made the game?
It's always, so it's funny. There's usually a tier of levels of people at these booths for the smaller booths like this. Like, if you go over to Nintendo, they have an army of hired marketing team people that did 2 days of training. They know nothing about the game. They know less about the industry than you. Yeah.
Okay.
You know more about the game than they do.
But you don't have to have a C cup and a 32-inch waistline anymore. Yeah.
20 years ago, 15
it's
years
ironic,
ago.
It's ironic, right?
Yeah.
That when they bring in, I love it. I'm saying that I love that when they start to bring in the masses,
yeah,
that they realize that the masses, I think it's twofold. The masses don't really care about hot chicks,
yeah,
right? And secondly, is that it's not just for dudes anymore.
And see, I think that's what really has shifted, is that the point of E3 when it was first started was this was an opportunity to garner attention from the media to get people to pay attention to what you're selling. But now everybody has a platform. You don't need the bottleneck of magazines and TV to pay attention to what you're trying to sell, or this big event to get retailers to walk in. You have them all through.
They're already there.
They're there because of Instagram, Twitter, whatever your trending is actually what's going to sell. So this event becomes more of like an excuse to celebrate together, to show off. And because of that, I think that's why the booth babes have gone away.
And it's more about informing.
It's about developing the culture.
Yeah.
Fans getting to connect with the actual people that are making the product. So yeah, some designer was running it while some other designer was talking, and probably the next show they flip roles so that they don't have to keep doing the same thing the whole time. So that looks phenomenal. And then on the way out, I got my first piece of swag.
Oh,
it was a toothbrush.
Yeah.
A wooden toothbrush.
A wooden one?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me guess the game. What would have been?
It was Psychonauts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because of the toothbrush. Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
No, I don't know why.
But how do you know it's wood?
Because I took it out of the thing and I'm like, that is a piece of wood with bristles in it.
And why would you not use a wooden toothbrush?
I feel
like Psychonauts that much?
Because yeah, that and the porous nature of wood makes for a really terrible object to put in my mouth.
Survivor, they brush their teeth with bamboo slats.
If only I was on Survivor, I could bring this to
a brush. Man, you would kill it. Because everybody would be like, oh, that guy's got bristles on his tooth.
Would that be my... Don't you get to bring one object?
No, not anymore.
Oh, you don't even get to do that?
No more luxury item. Or at least they don't make a big deal about it.
Yeah.
I'm always curious because sometimes... Some chicks seem to have very unhairy armpits. Even after
I feel like hair and makeup is still involved.
But some chicks have hairy armpits. That's why I'm like, wait a minute.
Would you really bring, if you had one object you could bring on this island?
That's what they used to bring. People would bring a razor.
A razor.
Yeah.
I guess it's
I don't know what.
I'd bring a toothbrush.
I think I would bring like a jet ski.
I'd bring my
to win the swimming challenges or something.
I don't even have to say it now because yours is better. So then Nostalgia is the name of the game at this E3 because then I got to see the remake of Destroy All Humans, which was the old PS2 classic game. Do you remember that game?
No. I'm trying to think of it.
Jack Nicholson sound alike.
Mixed up with Mars Attacks.
That's so funny that you said that because the gal that greeted me there was like, they give you a mask, like a little fake mask. And she's like, this really reminds me of a movie from the late 90s, and I can't remember the name of it. I was like, oh, you're thinking of the movie directed by, I blanked on his name, and I knew it then. But I went back and I said, oh, it's Mars Attacks. And she was like, yes, Mars Attacks! That's the one! It's a who's the
I'm looking
Nightmare Before Christmas, that director.
Oh, Tim Burton.
Tim Burton directed Mars Attacks. That actually has Jack Nicholson in it as the president. This has a Jack Nicholson soundalike in Destroy All Humans. So it's just a straight remake of this classic game. It'll come out on the 20th anniversary of it with much better graphics, better UI, and smoother controls. But if you loved, and I did, that classic 1950s homage to use it, you know, and it had that like really popular game mechanic of TK. Psychonauts had it. Every game had the ability to like grab things and move them in the PS2 era. This game has that. So you get to do that again, make cows blow up, control mines, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's fun.
And then next door to it were Darksiders, Darksiders 2 or something was there, which is kind of it's a big popular franchise from the same publishers, but it was a dungeon crawler game. And that looked really great as well. So then, all right, time has passed. It's been enough time. I go back over to the Cyberpunk area.
Oh, here we go.
But that Psychonauts video took too long and I missed it. I walked up to the guy and I said, I missed it again, didn't I? He said, yes. Yes, you did. I was like, okay. So much for E3. So I'm 2 for 2.
Why couldn't you come back again?
Well, because here's the thing, like where you can't hang out anywhere. You can't go anywhere. So I attempted to make friends with people that were waiting in line. I walked up to total strangers and just why I said, excuse me, gentlemen, would you engage me in a conversation so that they'll allow me to linger here long enough so that I can get to the front of the line when the time comes? And they were like, I don't know what's happening. I said, I am the voice of Sly Cooper. And usually that gives me 15 minutes of conversation that I can engage in. And I met the three people at E3 that never played the game.
That's hilarious.
I tried to engage them. I'm trying to invent anything.
The three people.
I'm watching them sweat. They're just like, why is this man talking to us? And I'm trying to be up and I'm like, no, laugh. Pretend to laugh with me. I'm like, I know you know why I'm doing this. This is very clear. Eventually they caught on and the guy comes over and goes, excuse me, I'm sorry. We can't have everybody waiting. I go, but this guy's my friend. He's my friend. And he must have misunderstood me because he said, I'm sorry, did you say you were friends? I said, yes, we were friends for so long and I betrayed his trust. And I have found him here at E3 to apologize to him. Please do not rob me of this opportunity to own up for my confession. He said, I don't believe you. And he shooed me along.
Funny.
And then I was able to then kind of linger, walk like slowly away. And then I just kept like walking back and forth because I realized if you stand, they get mad at you. But I just walked to the end and then walked back again. I probably did this for about 10 minutes of just the same path at
still nothing.
Still nothing. And then finally they open it up and I just ran. I just pushed and I was like, no, I'm next.
Knocked over
it all,
I'm
going. I'm in line. And I got in. Yay! Then, and that's E3.
Nailed it. Thank you guys.
So then I got to meet the people that I made feel uncomfortable, and then one of their friends knew who Sly Cooper was, and we took a picture. So.
One of their friends.
I don't know why she didn't talk to me while I was desperately trying to create a conversation.
That's one of Adam Carolla's favorite things that he talks about, how he goes, people come to my shows, and the chick who ends up in the green room is always the person who's never a fan.
Like, how does she end up in the green room?
That's exactly. He goes, I don't know how this happens, but somehow some chick will end up. And he goes, it's either some chick who's kind of in her 30s who's hot, or it's a chick who's older who used to be hot and now is not hot, and they can't keep their mouth shut because they were hot chicks or are hot chicks, and they always have to say something like, well, I'm not a fan, but my friend or my boyfriend is.
Right.
She's a big fan of yours, but I don't listen.
Because I'm hot, I don't have to actually be invested in this
thing. I have to tell
thing.
You that I'm not interested.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that.
These people
I don't get
very
it, but
kind.
This guy seems to like you, the Sly Cooper thing that you're
to be fair,
about.
I did dump my green room on these poor unsuspecting
souls. Yeah, that's
fine. So finally get in to Cyberpunk 2077. I got to tell you, this game is incredible.
Really?
Yeah, I cannot count the minutes fast enough for this game to be released, which is somewhere in April. And, you know, it's really fun to go to the shows because last year we were really stoked to see Strange Brigade when that was coming out. And so to see this and just be itching for the game to come out, really great demo, really long demo in the theater. And they at the beginning, they kind of show you some of the world of it. It all takes place in this dystopian Los Angeles future.
Yeah, it looks a little like Blade Runner-ish.
Yeah, it's Blade Runner-ish with a lot more colors and neon and kind
boobs.
Of fun to it. And a lot of
Keanu Reeves.
And Keanu Reeves. The story is engrossing. I find myself thinking about it as if it were the pilot episode for a show that I didn't get to watch the next episode to. I'm going to have to wait so long. But what was really cool is there's a lot of customization in these sort of RPG games. That's how they work. You know, you choose a skill tree. And what was fun about this demo is that halfway through, they're like, okay, we're going to pause here. We're going to show you a menu that's not actually part of the game. And then they show you like a man, the man that we've been playing as, and then they show you a woman that you can also, because you can make your character a female. And they're like, we're going to show you a different set of skill trees that you could use in this same scenario. So in the main character, he has all these like hacking abilities. So you go around and you find terminals and you're hacking cameras and you're hacking other
watchdogs.
Yeah, but a little more action oriented.
Oh, okay.
Because you're coming up and like hacking people from behind because everybody are cyborgs. And then trying to, depending on your level of expertise, you have different hacking abilities that allow you to turn different things on and off. So it's like a stealth game as you're going through.
Is Keanu Reeves the main character?
Keanu Reeves is sort of your imaginary friend, sidekick that only you see that's in your mainframe. That's what I've gathered. And he's giving you instructions and you're working on something together. So they switch over to this female character. They're like, now we've put all of our skill points into strength and firepower. So the exact same scenario that we just witnessed that was a very well executed stealth scenario is now a smash and bash.
Wow.
Go in guns. Yeah, exactly. Like how you want to play, we can play. And sure enough, The same character. Now, the same game. It was all about melee tactics versus range tactics in the exact same arena of like, try to move here, do this. You want to use cover for the, like, all of that. So you literally would choose what kind of game you want to play. And those were just the two that they showed us. I get the impression that there's a lot of different variations through it. It looks gorgeous. It's incredibly imaginative. It's like looking at Grand Theft Auto with fantasy woven mm-hmm. into it, that level of detail. Not that Grand Theft Auto isn't fantasy. I'll say sci-fi. Mm. Little fun details, too, of like walking into an area and two people are speaking in Puerto Rican in the corner. But the AI in your character's brain is able to translate it. So you look above their heads and their conversation is typed out in text in English. So you can track what the Puerto Rican couple is saying to each other.
Looks like you have a badass car, too, in this.
Yeah, I mean I remember hearing one of the
it's
game
like a
mechanics
Batmobile version of a DeLorean.
I'm sold. I want it.
Oh, so good.
One of the game mechanics that I understand, I haven't heard this recently, but I intentionally, because I don't look at spoilers, I haven't dove in too deep, but I've heard in the original tabletop game, one of the things that you have to be aware of when you go like into a battle is, you know, are you strong enough? Are you equipped enough? Also, are you cool enough? You won't even be able to engage in the fight. They're like, we're not even going to fight you. You're not cool enough.
They say that to you in the
that's,
game?
That's part of the game mechanic of the tabletop.
Oh, the tabletop. Cyber
So I imagine that's actually, you know, like, you don't have enough cred to tangle with us. Thanks, kid. Come back and we might draw guns
Scruffle
later.
Your hair.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for playing.
That's cool.
I recommend Cyberpunk 2077. So I leave there. I go and look at other games. I go over to the other side, and there's a giant hole in the floor where Sony used to be. Because, as you know, Sony was not at this previous.
But they did like a keynote or a presentation type thing, but they didn't have a booth.
No booth. And then Microsoft wasn't in their hall. They were over in their Microsoft Theater. So that whole site, and I didn't get over there. So their whole, that half of the other room is just, there's like fluff. Like stuff sitting around. The Nintendo booth is there, and it, as always, is decked to the nines. They always put together a really cool booth. Looks like something Disney would do. There's like a full-blown Pokemon arena in there. A lot of great games. I didn't spend too much time there because the lines are super long and it's getting late in the day. But I did find the kiosk that allows you to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game. So you can have an arcade. You remember the old Ninja Turtles? It's about, you know, about 3 feet across, and it has four players, and you can get that and put it in your garage.
Wow.
And play it with your kids. I recommend it. I think it's something you guys should get.
All right, let's do
Seems
it.
Like
I don't know
family.
If I have room in my garage, but I can put it on my porch.
Throw a car away. You're fine. No, and then they have the arcade, like the history of video games section over at E3, and I found an incredible game that I think we should do an entire expose on called Zookeeper. Google this right now.
All right.
Do you remember the game Zookeeper?
No, I do not.
It is the stupidest, dumbest, terriblest idea for a game, and I definitely spent way too much time playing this very old game.
Those is the Kevin James movie.
Now, it might be two words, Zookeeper. So in it, there it is. It's this one here with the blocks. So in it, for some reason, I mean, this game was like 1982. You have this invisible barricade of walls that you kind of walk around like Super Mario Galaxy.
Uh-huh.
And as you walk around it, you lay brick that keep the animals inside of this box. But the animals are actively trying to get out of the box. And there's a time. And you try to keep a certain number of animals inside the box before the time is over. But if the animals touch you, you die and the game is over. I mean, it is absolute nonsense. And I don't know who or why they thought this would be a good idea. But I definitely think it should be game of the year for 2019. It was so.
Did you play it?
Yes, for far too long. Yes.
This is fun.
You remember that? Remember that sound?
So there's one on the outside that you have to avoid.
Yeah, there's one animal there.
And it looks like he's... Is he drinking beers?
Yeah, something.
And
that's it.
Oh my gosh, this is horrible.
Isn't that terrible? It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
Oh, now there's the same thing, but with snakes.
This is my childhood.
Oh, it's got him.
The number of times I've spent hearing sound effects like this. So the kiosk, you know, the actual cabinet that it's
in.
You
can watch that for 15 minutes.
Oh, who boy. Wouldn't want to? It has everyone. One of the coolest logos ever, like our logo for the Gamerland podcast, but it says Zookeeper. It's so great. Bad. So definitely played that for a long time. Piled around, checked out a lot of stuff. There were a lot of fun kiosks, bought some toys, gifts for your son, other friends. Yeah, that's where he got his t-shirt from.
I didn't get to see him open his gifts.
Oh, it was a Fortnite t-shirt I bought him from E3. Got some stuff from Overwatch. And then I was like, you know what? I feel satiated. This has been a lovely time. Oh, I got to go check out some stuff at the Bethesda booth. They have, Elder Scrolls Online, and they have Elder Scrolls Blades, which this is actually a highlight for me of the show. Do you know the game Elder Scrolls Blades?
I know of it.
So it's an iOS game, and they were showing that they're just about to release it on the Switch.
Was it always an iOS game?
No. Oh, okay. So they used the Elder Scrolls Elder Scrolls engine, and they made an iOS game out of it. And so on your phone right now, you can get it, and it's like, move here, slash this thing. It's pretty cool, especially for a mobile game. And they were porting it over to the Switch and mapping all the keys to the thing, and that's what they were showing. And, you know, what we were saying earlier about the accessibility of the developers, I asked somebody that keeps coming around, like, do you have any questions about the game? So I said, like, oh, is this going to be something that iOS 13 will be able to pair with the PS4 controller? Excuse me. Because you remember earlier this month at the Apple convention, they announced that the Xbox controllers and the PlayStation controllers will be able to Bluetooth sync with your phone.
Look at that.
Won't that be cool? So I asked, like, will this be a thing? And he's like, I don't know. Talk to this guy. So he grabs one of the senior developers on the project. And I reiterate my question. He's like, oh, yeah, because they announced that. He's like, yeah, maybe that could be something we look in. You know, that doesn't happen until September, but that could be something we can look into because we've got it all mapped out now. It would just be a matter of converting that over to the iOS. So he's like, but really what we want to do with this product is VR. That's the plan for it, and make it an interactive. It was like, oh, this would be great. And I feel like every year at E3, I'm blessed enough to have that opportunity to have like a real interaction with somebody whose life it is developing these things, and gets to have like a human interaction with someone and explain what they're working on, and not feel like I'm trying to get something out of them, or he's not trying to sell me. It's just like,
do you also have a toothbrush?
It's made of wood. You can put this in your mouth.
And do you think, like, when you have these moments with these people, are they shocked by the way that you talk to them, or do you think this is definitely the vibe?
I wonder, because here it is day three. I'm not the first person that's asked an intelligent question. They also don't know who I am. I'm not standing there with a notepad and a camera in their face. Yeah. So, but I imagine they're like, oh, this is, I get the impression that it's better than just the same, like, five questions that you get all the time. What day is it come out? How much is it going to cost? Is it upgradable? Can I have it for free? Where's your swag? Those are your five.
Are you hiring?
Are you hiring? When are you hiring? Spent some time in the Indiecade, which I twitched as well. I got to see some really fun games and make some friends with some people over there. Had a lovely time. I'm walking out the door.
Uh-oh.
It's done. We're done with E3. I've got to matter.
You're going to go get on the metro.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? We'll get on an hour early. Why waste any more time? I've seen everything I want to see.
Yeah, of course
I bought something at the Fortnite booth.
Yep.
I didn't get on the seesaw, but that's okay. It looked dangerous. And then I look over in the Borderlands booth. The line is gone to the point where I had to ask the lady, the booth babe, who was, you know, pleasantly dressed, not a disturbingly booth babe. I say, where's the line? She says, right here. I said, there's no one in that line. She says, I know. And the three security guys behind her go, yeah, it's a real short line now. Sure. So I get in the line, and sure enough, this line that was 3 hours long earlier wraps all the way around their booth. I end up, going all the way back to where I started to get in a line that looks like it's going to take me 10 minutes. Like, what happened? Where did all the Borderland fans go?
You broke E3.
The swag was gone. All 3 days, they were giving away the iconic Psycho mask that is from that game, and people are wearing it all over the place, and they were out.
But when it came to the game,
once the Psycho masks were gone, the booth line came down to a reasonable 20 minutes.
What?
Wow.
So I got to play Borderlands 3.
What?
Wow. Got to enjoy a wonderful demonstration. That game is gorgeous. It's way up your alley.
Yeah, I don't know how much of the ad I saw was like playable. I don't know. But
I think a lot
gorgeous.
Of it. I played the first 15 minutes of the game right there. There's a ton of new classes for it. And I had a QA guy because I broke my console. It said, choose your character. I didn't want that character, so I thought I was pressing back. And it said I closed out of the entire application, and now I'm staring at a desktop screen.
Whoops.
So I had to call a QA guy over, and he's like, oh, you can't break this thing. I broke it in so many ways. He's like, you want me to coach you through it? It was like, yes. So he helped me get all the way to the boss battle through it by telling me, okay, equip this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Walking in this giant mech, and he's like, now change out and converting these both arms to flamethrower napalm guns. And
yes.
The game is really pretty. It's very gorgeous.
That comes out in September?
That comes out in September, before Cyberpunk 2077, because as we know, I won't be doing anything once that game comes out.
So that's when we stopped doing the show, the last episode of September?
April, whenever Cyberpunk.
Oh, so we got a while.
Yeah, we got some time.
We're going to at least get to number 12.
Yeah, I hope I don't have any more kids coming, because I won't pay attention to them once then.
You don't have to listen to them.
Okay, good.
They make you. So you don't have to try.
Do we have to take another break?
Yeah, we do. We're over.
Oh my gosh, we're way over.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back after this. We're not doing vape ads anymore.
Do you know that for sure?
Yeah, it's strictly recreational marijuana. So enjoy.
Fun.
And now, it is time for...
That was good. That was very teary-y. So as much fun as E3 has been, Guild Wars has been a bit of a job lately.
Oh, really? They don't have like an event for E3. Like that doesn't
there
make
is,
sense.
There is
enough of a holiday.
What do you mean?
I'm going to be mad. The Mad King Thorn comes out for Halloween.
Yeah. Oh,
no. They don't
no.
have something like that.
That
for
would
E3.
Be fun. Guild Wars.
I would want it to be just a guy in a t-shirt and glasses who just, like it's just a tester.
I would play that.
Something.
It's funny, for all the love that E3 has for games, to your point earlier, PC games, not a lot of attention at E3. They're primarily for the console game world, indie game. And so indie games will show up, and they'll be on PCs. But, like, the developers...
Most of them are consoles.
It's almost
a better place to game, it sounds like. Yeah, I mean, is there a PC gaming conference? Like
very many, but we call them CES and PAX.
So many that there isn't a one.
That's
mean?
Fair. Like, that's
there's
fair.
Not a lot of console gaming conferences.
So Guild Wars is Expos. Not there. I think Guild Wars was at the Guild Wars 2 was at the E3 before they released, but they don't show up anymore. I wish they would show up.
I kidnap them.
Elder Scrolls Online was there, and then I promptly went home and played it or bought it, and then realized, wait, I already got this game for free. Why did I buy this? Dang it! And I don't
them.
Like it then.
You're supporting.
I did. My $10. So Guild Wars 2, in this current expansion, the Skyscale Dragon is available for you to unlock as a mount, but this is an epic journey to achieve this. As we have gone through several of the mounts that I have acquired, I remember lovingly telling you all in detail how I have acquired the Griffin, mm-hmm. the flying mount, the Roller Beetle, mm-hmm. which is like a motorcycle.
Do you use the Griffin anymore?
Almost to the point where I'm now I more time on the Griffin than not on the Griffin because it's transversing.
Like you'll pass by a character and go, can you pick up my dagger? I dropped it. I don't want to get off my Griffin.
Yeah, it's so comfy and the Griffin doesn't like it when I get up. Yeah. No, if you move around, you pretty much get on your mount now because they're faster. Mm-hmm. They have more ability to move. I have the War Claw, which came out earlier this year. Very slow moving thing, more for PvP. All of these have been very important and have taken a lot of time to get, but I think, honestly, this might be accurate, but it certainly feels this way, that it takes as much time to get the Sky Claw or Sky Scale as it did to get all three of those mounts combined. The amount of time and energy invested in this, it is a multi-page, multi-tiered experience. And when the game first was released in May, when this chapter came out, I remember seeing, you know, really intense players chatting in the window saying, oh, there's a very strong time gate, which means you cannot move on to the next level until the server resets at Pacific time. That's 5 o'clock, which is midnight Greenwich Mean Time. And so they were not annoyed, but they're going, you know, I literally can't get it because the game is saying you have to wait until tomorrow to move on to the next chapter. And these are people playing it, not knowing what the requirements are because it is yet to be written. No one's done it yet, and the wiki doesn't tell you. So I thought, oh, once I
get... That's how you're getting it is from the wiki, though.
I've watched what they did. Once they learn, they go, they're the early adopters.
The Vanguard.
The Vanguard is a good word. It's the
pioneers.
Why do I not know this word right now? Inscriptors.
Pathfinders.
They are the innovators.
Oh.
They're the innovators. They're the 2% of people. They are vanguarding the route and then putting on the wiki for the rest of us. Then there are the early adopters, and those are the people that have been playing enough that had a lot of the material on hand that was required. So when they met the time gate, they go, okay, I just have to wait. And then I can move on to the next tier. I thought I was doing really well until the second to last portion, which is where I'm still at, said that there were 6 different things that I needed 250 of each of them, some of which I can only collect 25 to 30 per day.
Oh.
So I have taken, you love it. You love it so much. So I have taken to watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine while playing this game and collecting these things, and it's been a real blast. I've really enjoyed it. I know you don't believe me, but it's been fun.
Okay. Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to find the sarcasm. I was like,
honestly, I couldn't decide if I was going to be sarcastic or not.
But you like it.
I do like it. So okay. There were 6 things. And
are you telling yourself you like it, but you don't like it?
Are you
in an abusive relationship with?
It is a little abusive. Do I wish I were done and I had the Sky Scale? Of course I do.
Who doesn't?
If I had it right, will it be more rewarding having gone through these several weeks long journey to get there? Absolutely. Like I have 2 legendary weapons. If I could get that for $10 in 20 minutes of gameplay, it would not have had the same weight that it has right now. There is a sense of accomplishment that having these elite mounts mm-hmm. and these high end legendary weapons that come with the game that I don't think you can find any other game. And, you know, if you get a platinum in a PS4 game, it's an icon that shows up on your screen. In this world, you get that platinum and then you get to walk around with it, show other people and kill them with it. That's what you're dealing with in an MMORPG.
The Sky Scale, though, is a mount.
It is a mount.
So what about the feelings of the Griffin?
They are going to love working together because
they're going to go hand in hand.
They're different. The Griffin is like a biplane glider in that, you know, it can kind of go, it goes
like
up.
The Wright brothers.
Yeah. It can't pull any vertical lift.
But the Sky Scale is an F-16 fighting falcon.
The Sky Scale is more of a helicopter in that it can go up and it can stay in position in the air forever. And it can just float there. As soon as you start to move forward, it loses height. So you can never get up into the sky and fly through. There are portions and places where that is possible. But the point of the Sky Scale is to give you a nice high altitude to start with and then go down. So the two of them kind of complement each other. They allow you to hop higher or glide over long distance of time and kind of flap your wings. I haven't used the Sky Scale enough because I only get it on the tester map to see which one I will go to more often. But I've heard people in chat say, since the Sky Scale has come up, it's been the only mount I've needed because you don't need to jump between a couple of mounts. It does several things at the same time.
Interesting.
I just love all the mounts.
I can't imagine changing mounts in the middle of a game. I feel like I would just want to. I had the same horse through all of Red Dead Redemption 2.
You should have upgraded your horse.
No, I did upgrade. It was at one point I upgraded. I got a thoroughbred.
Oh, nice.
And I felt like, I was like, oh, maybe eventually I'll get through the game and there's a better horse. Nope. All of them. Oh. I got the fastest horse I could need, and it was my friend, Speck.
Oh, that's good.
That's what I named
What'd
her.
You name him?
Speck.
Oh, that's adorable. I named mine Buck 50.
Is that because of what you paid for?
Because I paid her $150.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I thanks. Like came up with it myself.
Didn't find that on a wiki.
But I've learned that because it takes so long to get through this process that I have to cap myself to an hour and a half to 2 hours of gameplay, because there's this sensation of like, if I just play a little bit longer, I'll get there. And it's not possible. So I have to make myself stop and go do something else.
How do you feel about, how long does it take you to leave that, and while you're doing the other thing, to be like, nope, nope, and then I'm over it? Like, because I feel like when I would start, I'd be like, yeah, why don't I just do it? Just do it.
Yes, I've done that a couple
just
times.
Just do it, Justin.
Like, that's the thing I want to go do. Go do that. But like last night, I made myself stop, and I'm like, go play some Overwatch. Go play some Red Dead Redemption. Don't just keep trying to bang your head against this wall. Because after a while, even though it's fun, it's like, it's just chewing gum. Like, I like gum, but if I keep chewing this gum, I'm going to never want to chew gum again. And I don't want that to happen to this game.
Yeah. That would suck ass.
That would be terrible. If I got through this, I was like, now what do I do? I don't care.
Then what would you try to convince me to play on a weekly basis?
Guild Wars 2.
Even after you were done with it?
Yeah, we'd start from the beginning. It'd be so great.
Pick another character?
I have 9. I don't need another character.
Where's Kat at with her Guild Wars 2 situation?
Well, the good news is we're coming up on our anniversary again, which is when I was forced her to play it last time. So if she doesn't start playing it before then, definitely by our anniversary. She has not really picked it up with this year.
The morning of your anniversary, like, she wakes up and goes, oh,
crap.
Thankfully, I could just stop this ruse of telling you how much I love this game. I hope you're happy with your year-long present.
No, she hasn't played it. She's stopped play. She hasn't played it for like 4 months.
Why?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I need my anniversary to come to force her
to
play.
Has she lost interest?
No, I think she's curbing her own addiction, for lack of a quicker word, towards the game.
You're telling yourself that.
She'll walk by and see me play and go, oh, I missed that game. No, I can't get back into that. I want to finish my book. And then go and leave. And then she'll read like 4 more books. And I'll be like, do you want to play Guild Wars? She's like, I
got books.
I don't want to get. And I think because when she does a thing, she does the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing that she does.
What's the book she's reading now? Are you allowed to say?
I don't know. She's fallen in love with some author and she's been reading a whole bunch of murder books. When she reads the sexy books, she's a lot more fun. When she reads the murder books, she's always trying to figure out what crime I'm committing. Yeah. She tests my food. She's like, are you trying to kill me? I'm like, you don't have an insurance policy, honey.
Oh, Natalie used to get so mad when we bought our first house. We would get, you get emails, and it's just because your name's on public record, right? Yeah,
our resident.
When you have assets, then people think that you're more, and they're right, that you're more inclined to buy insurance to cover those assets.
Sure.
So for the longest time, there would be life insurance policy, like, advertisements that would come in the mail.
Oh, no.
But they would just have my name on it. And I just assumed because I was the dude and everybody assumed I was the breadwinner or something. I don't know. And so I teased her and I said, did you get a life insurance quote on me? And she's like, well, yeah, but it was just which was great.
Oh,
like,
that's amazing.
She got it, I think, for both of us, but she did. She just checked in on it. So I've been riding this for 20 years now, at least. I mean, like, oh, my gosh. I kept saying, oh, you just got life insurance for just me.
Hey, honey, can you look at the bottom of this hole here?
Yeah. Every time,
what do you see down there?
Yeah. Every time she made dinner and it tasted funny, I'm like, is this how much is the policy? It
tastes like there's an egg in the sweet potato.
Now I am currently worth more dead than alive right now as of this
really?
Moment. Oh, yeah. Yeah, unless they could, like, Natalie becomes a millionaire, unless something happens through nefarious means, I'm assuming.
So I have to kill you.
The biggest, I don't know.
She can't do it. Sure, her hands need to be clean.
Yeah, but if they could connect that back to you, and now we put it on record forever.
Yeah, but she still gets the policy just because your friend is crazy. No, that has nothing to do with her. She didn't have anything to do with it.
They have to connect you back to her and plan.
This wasn't her idea. It was your idea.
That's a good point. I wonder if that really voids it.
Please don't die tonight because I don't want to go to jail.
I'm not.
And you're the last person I want to kill.
I'm good.
Oh, boy.
Before we leave, are we done with
that? That's everything. Do you have something to share?
Sort of.
I kind of monopolized all the time.
No, yours was far superior. I'm going to talk for just a couple minutes. Yeah. I talked last time about how I had finished Red Dead Redemption and I've started Mass Effect. I don't think I got to talk about Mass Effect Andromeda yet.
Do we need to do a Tales from Andromeda?
I don't think so, because not a lot going on right now.
Okay.
And I don't have time in the week to play it. But I have played it, and I'm so, I love it. It's so great. Number one, no sleeping, so I'm in.
Unlike Red Dead Redemption, yes, where you have to sleep. Yep.
And it may be, and I'm just getting into the world, and I've already had a mission where I'm shooting some stuff up, and I'm like,
is it connected
is
to the other massive? Like, you're like, oh, yes. I remember that alien.
It
I remember
even
that
tells
race.
You, like, there's a fun element that my kid didn't understand where you tell it whether or not you had a man or a woman for the previous character.
Oh, fun.
The old Mass Effect games would actually let you port in your character, like
that's
in all
cool.
your choices and stuff
that's
like that.
Fun.
And it would affect the next game, which is a cool element. But
the infamous games would do that. Yeah.
It was, but this one, they just said, did you have a man or a woman in the last game? And you say, yeah, okay, I did this. And then they go, okay. And I haven't seen why it comes up or why it's relevant yet.
That's interesting.
But it seems like a really interesting story. I'm really excited about it. It seems very Star Trek to me.
Is it an action game? Is it a conversation tree game?
It's
is
both.
It,
I think there's RPG elements, there's action elements, but they're very on the, right now at least, they're very much on the small side.
Got it.
And then there's a lot of conversation tree stuff.
If
you want to really. And it's funny to watch my son. I thought I was one of the few people who like to have everything said to me.
Yeah.
My son is like that too. Like, he's like, go back. No, say that. Go back.
But did he do that for Horizon Zero Dawn?
I don't think so. Because I don't think he really, I think he stopped playing that game altogether. Yeah. I don't think he finished it. They jump. Like right now, all it takes is new and shiny and boom. They're like a fish in a.
Oh, yeah. They're back into Disney Infinity because they watched Iron Man.
Yes.
Like, that's all it takes.
And then it's funny because we were watching and they said, they were looking around. They go, Dad, I was doing laundry. And he goes, Dad, I'm really sorry.
Oh,
and
no.
I said, I don't like the way this is starting, but what's up? And he said, I went to move the entertainment center because I thought there was something behind it. And then the TV went like made like a static thing and it went just blue.
Oof.
And I go, and I was like, oh boy.
Oh no.
So I hoped he just disconnected something, but you never know.
Yeah.
So I go in there and I said, well, what were you looking for? He goes, I was looking for my Infinity War. And he goes, I think it fell back there. And I was like, oh, so I moved the entertainment center. I'm looking around back there. And he goes, all of a sudden he goes, Kevin's got it. Kevin has it. I gave it to Kevin. I was like, okay. Like, I'm not kidding. That loud. He just starts shouting. And then he immediately goes to his phone because he goes, is he in my phone?
This is his first text message he ever sent me.
And I said, yes, but Kevin is not going to be bringing this to you now. This feels very important to you in this moment because you're happy you realized where it is. I said, but this is not important in the big grand scheme of things. I said, Kevin will be here Tuesday. Ask him if he could be there or for your brother's birthday.
Ask
him if he could bring it then, but not right now. And he was like, okay, all right.
Poor kid. He didn't text me that until yesterday, so he must have
forgotten. Maybe I got my days mixed up.
Oh, okay,
no, I did. I said, then I must have been the podcast.
Got it.
But, and so he was like, oh, okay. But I still think he texted you and said, hey.
He sure did. Well, it was good they did because I wouldn't have known to bring it.
And then he said, but then he was like, he's got cars and he's got, I think you said I also have these.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I looked. I assume it's his. I have two copies of that Cars playset.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't imagine where else it would have come from. And I don't need two, so I don't know why I have it because I've always had the Cars playset.
Yeah, exactly. I think maybe you misplaced it. I don't know. I remember there being a day where you said, can we borrow this?
I think what happened is that I looked down and saw it there and was like, I think this is mine, and I took it.
Oh, okay.
And
that makes sense.
Thinking that I let you guys borrow it.
Because they bought, I think, Cars. Like, they went to that when Toys R Us was going out of sale. That was Disney Infinity Gold Rush for them.
Yeah,
like
they were
just going there, just buying them.
They were selling Skylander figures for 49 cents.
Wow.
It was great.
That's insane.
Kids have all these Skylander stuff.
That's insane. But point is, I love Mass Effect.
I want to play it, except for the part where it sounds boring.
I don't think it's boring. Maybe it's more of a game for me.
Can I just watch it on YouTube and get as much out of it?
I'm sure that you could probably Twitch it.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Right.
That'd be fun. Okay. Everybody, tune in to twitch.tv/TheKevinMiller. Watch Kevin play Mass Effect Andromeda. If you want to chat with other listeners on the show, all that stuff, go to bit.ly/GamerlandDiscord, and they'll get you all set up there. And you can, we didn't talk to anybody today because all the E3 stuff, but you could do that. All the social media handles for the show are in the description of this episode. And at some point, Kevin is going to fix the website because I broke it. and made it to where you can't get shows from the website.
I'm going to take the website to E3 and try to film a game with it, and they're just going to grind it up into powder.
They're going to say, hey, you're going to need to get much bigger.
It's going to be
expanded out.
It's going to be a G5
internet. I'm going to need you to do that with this wooden toothbrush. On behalf of the KevinMiller.com, just Dustin Worship saying, okay, bye.